Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, and I want to also remind individuals that at 12 o'clock I am live on the radio. And I want to thank my Uncle David for calling me, telling me he loved me, but he should know by now I'm on the radio. So, Uncle David, you can call in on the radio instead of blowing my phone up, but I will call you when I go off the air. So, today's topic is an interesting topic. Today we're going to be talking about relationship anxiety. Because as we know, being in a relationship with another can present with a share of challenges. However, when one starts to become concerned about the future of their relationship, one must be clear, first of all, in regards to what type of relationship you're in. You know, because maybe you think you're in love, you're about to go down the aisle, and the other person looking at you as being a side chick or, you know, a booty call or whatever. So you may not even be in a relationship. Now, dating is supposed to be the time that we use to basically get to learn more about one another as well as ourselves. However, many can become impatient and confuse love with lust. There are others that may be married or perhaps in a long-term relationship and may still be exhibiting signs of anxiety. Now, we know that love can be a powerful emotion. It can also present with its own share of anxiety. Now, we know a little bit of anxiety can be normal, and many individuals have been or in prior relationships prior to meeting the person that they're with. And what happens is they either bring in or have some baggage from previous relationships. This baggage can be consciously baggage or it can be unconscious baggage that they have. Now, we know relationship anxiety can be complicated, and it may also mean different things to different people. However, once the anxiety kicks in, it can cause its share of problems, and it can also result in a lot of inappropriate behavior. So I want to join in today our special guest who will be joining me on the air. So let me first introduce him before I click him on, and his name is Quinn Morgan. Quinn Morgan is an author, a speaker, a relationship advocate. He is certified in the field of wellness advisory and a balance management. He is also a producer, a filmmaker, and an award-winning director of his new book entitled Male Baggage, Understanding the Burdens and Implements That Men Bring Basically in the Relationship. Now, let me log him on because I want to make sure he gets his fair share of talking today. Hello, Mr. Quinton. How are you doing?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm glad to be in the number, glad to be here this afternoon, and I'm looking forward to sharing some information with your listeners.
I am so glad we were able to connect, and I did send my girl a message last night, and I called her. She didn't call me back either. So I also sent her your bio, and I told her, I was like, look, you need to get this man a call. So I know she's been busy, but she's been out of town, so we're going to give her a pass, okay? But I will follow up. Now, today's topic is about relationship anxiety. And one of the questions is, am I sabotaging my relationship with my anxiety? And a lot of times when we think of the anxiety, the worry, the fear, I want to know, first of all, Quinn, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself because I did read some of your bio, but tell them what you want them to know about you.
Basically, my name is Quinton Morgan, as stated. I'm a relationship advocate, and as a relationship advocate, I publicly support multiple ways and concepts in which people connect and their state of being connected. I'm the author of four books, my first book being Male Baggage, Understanding the Burdens and Impediments That Men Bring into Relationships. My second book being Male Baggage 2, Masters of Deception. My third book, which is the bestseller, Amazon bestseller, that is, it's called Female Baggage, Understanding the Problems That Some Females Can Bring into Relationships. And my just released in March the 14th. It's called Church Hurt, Hiding Under Religious Traditions. And in that book, I address issues that are going on within the church. I also have two movies that I've directed, two documentaries that I've directed, the first one being Male Baggage and the second one being Female Baggage. And I also, on May the 6th, I will be in Dallas, Texas at the Eric Johnson Library, and I'll be signing autographs and signing books and, you know, doing things of that nature in Dallas at that date. But that's who I am. That's what I do.
Well, you know what? I got family members out there in Dallas. I need to let them know that they need to go there because that sounds very interesting. You got to let us know when you're coming to California because I know we missed you in Vegas. And it's interesting because we talk about relationships. Relationships, we know, is already complicated. You know, I did a show a week ago, Are You My Soulmate? And, you know, I kind of got the under the bus on that one. And then we did the one on church yesterday because last Tuesday, because I'm on the air on Mondays and on Tuesdays talking about a lot of church issues. Because when we talk about a relationship, sometimes people get relationships confused. And even though it's complicated, and I was talking about, you first have to identify what type of relationship you're in. Because a lot of times people misconceive those types of relationships. What do you think about what kind of relationship you're in? Do you think, when you talk about male baggage, I want to hear from your perspective. Tell us a little bit about the different types of relationships.
Well, to address the topic, I tell women this all the time, you have to establish from the beginning, let the person that you're talking to, you have to let him know what you're looking for, okay? Mm-hmm. Therefore, there's no misconception of what you are getting into or what he's getting into. Because a lot of times, as men, a lot of times we'll play semantics, you know, we'll play word games. So, you know, I never said we was in a relationship. I said we were just friends, you know, or whatever, right? So I tell women all the time to establish, if you want to get married, say that from the beginning. Don't be scared to say it, right? A lot of women get scared. I might run the man off. Well, if you run him off, that's not the man for you. Because if you want to get married, you should be talking to people that want to get married, you know. So, and those are the things that can bring upon relationship anxiety. Like you said, you don't know whether you're in a relationship or not. You don't know the status of your relationship. You know, what are we? Who are we? But those things should be established from day one. What are you looking for? If you're looking for just friends with benefits, are you looking to just be friends? Are you looking to be in a relationship? Are you looking to be married? What are your future goals concerning the relationship? So what happens is a lot of times women will skip over all of that and just assume that they're in a relationship because the man is acting as though they are in a relationship. Okay? So what happens is the man knows the entire time that you are not in a relationship, and you all haven't established your relationship boundaries. He knows that. So he used that against you. So when you come back later on and say, well, you have a man, he's, no, I'm not your man. I never said I was your man. I said we were just friends. So you have to get all of that stuff out in the beginning. Therefore, that can eliminate a lot of the relationship anxiety. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Quentin?
Yeah, there we go.
Hello? It sounded like I got kicked off the radio. You know what? Like, okay, well, I guess he got to run the whole show himself because I just got kicked off. I'm sitting here like, okay, what just happened here?
So, what's the last thing you heard me say?
You know what? You were talking about establishing, like talking about if a person want to be married, let them know you want to be married.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you benefits. And you know what? And a lot of times, people have taken relationships to a whole nother level because sometimes they're running a person off. If you go to a person and you say, you know what, I'm looking for a husband, people may think, oh, you're desperate, or I don't want to date her, or she's moving too fast. Or if a person comes in saying, I want friends with benefits, they'll say, oh, well, she's a hoe. Or, well, you know, and a lot of times women will date men that they have multiple, that they know have multiple partners and thinking that they're going to be the number one chick. But you knew this when you went in.
Now, you are a relationship expert, and I'm a licensed marriage family therapist. So I work with a lot of couples, and a lot of times the number one issue that they have is communication problems. And a lot of times individuals have fear, they have this anxiety, they don't know what to do, they don't know how to talk to each other, either they talk it to, they talk it at. I also conduct the domestic violence group and the anger management classes. And a lot of those individuals that are referred to those programs is based on relationship issues. And it makes you wonder, is it learned behavior? Or did you watch your parents, you watch your siblings, you're watching television? What is the problem? Now, we know that relationship anxiety is normal, and you're not weird for having the anxiety, but there are some things that you can do to keep it from affecting your relationship. When I want to say a lot of times what I see is sometimes that anxiety can sabotage the relationship. Now, whether you are in a committed relationship or fresh off, you know, you just met this person, whether it's still from lack of trust, fear of abandonment, questioning your compatibility, or worrying about whether the person has the same feelings you do. We know that most people experience some form of uneasement about the future of their partnership, but the real issue arises when that natural worry evolves the debilitating stress or results in sabotage that negatively affects your relationship. Now, what are some of the things that you see as a relationship expert talking about this anxiety?
Well, a couple of things. Go back to what you said about communication. The number one issue that could bring upon that anxiety, you know, communication, you know, the lack of understanding of where you're at, right? But the reason it's a lack of understanding is because you haven't communicated your goals or your desires with your partner, okay? So When that comes to play, that's when the anxiety can come along. And talking about sabotage, what happens is when once that anxiety kicks in, and you'll see people that will do things that are not becoming of a healthy relationship, okay? Because they don't know where they stand. So what they may do, you know, they may go to the extreme. They may check his or her cell phone, okay, to see is he talking to someone else. They may go through their Facebook pages, things of that nature, to see who's liking their photos, who they're communicating with, right? See where they stand, you know, comparing notes and things of that nature. And that's when the sabotage of the relationship begins. You know, when someone has trust issues, when someone and the trust issues compiled with the anxiety. I mean, that's like a double-edged sword. You know, it's like pick your poison because you're going to sink fast with that one, you know. But, you know, I tell people all the time, you have to, number one, you have to, if you don't have trust, you're gonna have a hard time sustaining a healthy relationship, okay? Then on top of not having trust, now you have the communication issues, okay? Then the anxiety kicks in. One, two, three strikes, you're out. You know, so now it will be hard to sustain a healthy relationship over a long period of time, you know, with that anxiety. And also dabbling in those type of areas as far as checking Facebook, checking phones, who is that, where you're going, what you're doing, because you're showing that lack of trust, right? And a lot of times people don't like to be questioned, you know. You don't like to be questioned, especially questioned in a sense of, you know, what are you doing? Are you doing something backhanded? You know what I mean? So people don't like to be questioned. So once you do that, you're creating that wedge between you and your partner. And those are things that we need to really start looking at, you know, from a relationship standpoint as far as, you know, the sabotage of the relationship. But that's the anxiety. Anxiety leads to the sabotage of the relationship.
Correct. And you know what? A relationship anxiety can also basically cause people to engage in behavior that end up pushing the other partner away. You know, because it seems like they want that assurance. But then you're looking at that trust, and sometimes even if the trust is broken, then you have to develop that trust again, and that's done by being consistent. Now, I want to say if you want to call in and you want to speak to myself or Quentin Morgan, you can give us a call at 516-387-1914. Again, 516-387-1914. 387-1914, as we're going to be talking about relationship anxiety. And I'm going to give you the last in the show because we got to talk about this baggage, because I want to know about the female baggage and the male baggage, because it's going to kind of tie into all of this. Now, we know that when we start talking about the anxiety, there are some signs that your relationship has reached an unhealthy level. Now, and I got this information, basically, it's indicated on NBCNews.com. And it indicates that accepting that some anxiety is completely normal is the first step to keeping it at a manageable level. But when you begin to feel that it's spiraling out of control and have ripple effects that begin to hurt your relationship, you may have your own mental health issues. Now, here's what you need to know about identifying a source and getting it under control. Number one is find out if you have or your relationship anxiety has reached an unhealthy level. It is important to note that, like I said, everyone has some form of anxiety. But by that same token, like you were saying, if you start noticing that you are distressed a lot, it's impacting your daily life, you need to take some time to address it, because we don't need to be going through people's cell phones, putting GPS devices on there. Sometimes I ask my friend, is my phone tapped? How do you know when I be on the phone? He'll be like, oh, you're on the phone with your boyfriend. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, and it gets on your nerves when a person is doing that to you. And it kind of makes you wonder, are you the one doing something? And a lot of times about this, you know, this constant, and I need to do a show on this one, but emotional instability. Some individuals don't know how to control their emotions. And, you know, so if they say, well, I love you, but if this feeling lovesick and sad and a decrease in motivation and the loneliness and the fatigue, now that means you got to get some help. Because relationship anxiety, like I said, can cause people to engage in behaviors that end up pushing their partner away. Now, I've watched some of your Facebook things when you're doing Facebook Live, and, you know, you give women a lot of advice, and you're talking about relationships. And from a male perspective, and you know I put your picture out there, so hopefully won't nobody be stalking you like they be stalking me. So on FaceTime today, my hair all tore up, even though I did it this morning. You know, what are some of the things that you know as a man that run you away from women?
Ooh, relationship anxiety. Okay. a lot of things. You know, I think some guys don't really like to be tracked. I kind of want to say smothered. I want to say tracked. And what I mean by tracked, you know, what are you doing? You know, where are you going? You know, where you been? You know, can I come over today? You know, can I come over every day? Whatever. I think a lot of guys, those are things that can push someone away. But also on the other end, you know, jealousy can push, you know, people away. You know, push men away. But, you know, someone that's real jealous. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. You know, a woman, you know what? I'm going to kind of go to another level. But if a woman has children and you all are talking on a, and I'm talking about little children, I'm not talking about grown kids, but little children or, you know, school age, you know, and you're talking to that woman every day and they haven't mentioned about cooking a single meal, then, you know, where are your priorities? That can push a man away. If a man really wants a true woman, you know what I mean? If he just cares about hitting it or whatever, then it's, you know, he don't care. But if he cares about family and values, he would care. He would be concerned. Why you haven't cooked for your kids? You know what I mean? That's something that can push a man away. I'm questioning him about his Facebook page. Facebook is real big. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those are real big. You're going to have people that like your pictures and things of that nature. I always ask women, how do you know who likes a picture? Well, that means you actually took the time out to not only see the picture, but go through the likes on the picture. Go through the likes and then go to the person's other personal Facebook page and see how they look, see what they're about, you know, things of that nature. But those are things that definitely jealousy. A woman that that's not trustworthy. When I say not trustworthy, a woman that doesn't trust you for no reason. You just met. They got the 2 months. Why you don't trust me? It's part of that baggage, right? So, you know, those are things that could push a man away. And not just a man, that could push really a woman away as well. You know,
that's
those things could push a woman
that
away
is
as
so
well.
True. Because, right. You know what, I'm one that, and I tell people, and it was funny because my pastor was preaching the other day and he was talking about, how you going to go to a therapist or whatever and be with somebody and have somebody take advice from somebody who's been married 5 times? I was like, But you know what, and it's funny because a lot of times when we're talking about relationship, we jump into relationships we're not comfortable. We jump into relationships, we don't take time to even get to know the person. Because sometimes people are needy, they're clingy, they're dealing with abandonment issues, they're dealing with a lot of fear, a lot of insecurity, and a person cannot make you whole. A person cannot make you happy. Now, when we start even not only talking about that baggage, but I want to go back to from a woman. It's interesting because some individuals like that. When I do my domestic violence group, a lot of men get off on jealous women. And I'm like, no, well, she can't hurt me. Yes, she can. And a lot of times people don't realize how far some people can take that. It can become ugly. I have a friend, he always watches that. And I'm like, why do you watch these things? Well, I just want to know if somebody goes and what they go. I'm like, you know what? See, that's kind of crazy. That's crazy. But if you used to dating women like that, and then you find a person that's secure or you find a person that's stable, it throws you off because that's all you know. Or you constantly don't trust the person, and the person, like you said, didn't even do anything. Now,
right.
So and those are some turnoffs. Now, I want to go into this because we're, like, more almost halfway through the show, and my phone is blowing up with people just trying to call me. I don't know why they want to call when I'm on the air. Now, childhood, basically the root cause of relationship anxiety. Now, one of the things that they indicate is that over time, relationship anxiety stems from attachment patterns that develop in early childhood. Now, when we talk about these attachment issues, they say that depending on the accuracy and consistency of the caregiver's response, a child will learn to either express or suppress his or her emotional and physical needs. This coping mechanism may work at that time, but it can lead into maladaptive behaviors when applied to adult romantic relationships. What do you think about that? Because I know what you write in that book, you have to come up with some kind of childhood issue.
Well, here's the thing about your childhood, okay? We all are brought up, and I talk about this a lot. The reason the way we are, to a certain degree, to a big degree actually, is based upon enculturation. And enculturation is gradual acquisition of norms or characteristics and norms of a culture or group by a person, by a person or a group. You know, and basically what that means is, you're taught to think and act how you think and act. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, just like being a Christian, you're only a Christian because you were brought up to be a Christian. If you were brought up a Muslim, then you would be a Muslim. If you were, Buddhist, whatever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that also transcends into the way you think and how you act, you know, from a relationship standpoint. If you're in a household that doesn't have a male figure, positive male figure, you'll tend to go a certain direction, right? The same thing with a mother. You know, if you don't have a positive mother figure, you'll tend to go another direction. Whereas when you have that complete family dynamic with the mother and father in the home or active in their lives, you have an 80% chance, relationship survival. Because you learn from what you see your mother and father do or not do, okay? So you're in a household that doesn't have a father. All you see is your mother going through men, right? So then you, male or female, you know, you see your mother going through men, so you think this is how it's supposed to be. Or all you see is your father sleeping with different women, then you think, well, that's how it's supposed to be. You know, then that transcends into becoming an adult, and you can mimic or indulge in those same types of behavior, thinking that it's right, until you meet someone that says, no, that's not right. No, that's not cool to beat on women. No, that's not cool to be jealous. you know, no, that's not cool to have men coming in and out, you know, to be running through women, and for me to have my kids around different women or different men or whatever it may be. So,
correct.
You know, when we're taught to do certain things. So from a relationship standpoint, when you see your mother and father, even if they're not together, but if they're co-parenting at a high level, at a positive level, then you can see how the dynamic, family dynamic is actually supposed to work, how a man actually treats the woman, how the woman actually treats the man, okay, and how the relationship is supposed to go, even if you all are not together, okay? But
right.
Today's society, a lot of kids, a lot of our children are or young adults are watching these reality TV shows, and they're thinking that this is the way to be, that, you know, it's okay for a man to have 2 and 3 girlfriends, that it's okay for a woman to sleep with other women and still, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Women to be ratchet and to be, you know, they think that that's okay. But when you look at, when you backtrack, let's go to the 1970s. I would say from 73 to 79, 78. When you look at, we had wholesome shows like Good Times, you know, the Jeffersons, you know, even What's Happening. And the thing about What's Happening, even though Roger and his sister were being raised by a single mother, but the father was still in the picture. The father was still in the picture. And she implemented discipline. She didn't play this. She didn't play that. She tore they behind up. Okay? So we had these family shows in which, you know, we spent a lot of our time watching TV. And then we had that family dynamic coming up around those times as well. You know, the African African American community, the divorce rate between 1900 and 1960, okay, 60 years, the divorce rate was only like 33%. You know, the divorce rate now is 73. Okay?
So there's a
problem there. There's a disconnect there. So where's the disconnection? It's in what these kids are being raised on. And what they're seeing on a daily basis. Go ahead.
We got a caller coming in. Let me log this person in. No, they've been on hold. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just want to know, is it possible to get an abortion after the child's born?
Okay.
Well, God,
we're talking relationship anxiety. We're not talking about abortion. So don't know how that kind of fit in, but after the child is born, I'm quite sure you know you
would
can't
you
get
just
the
shove it back in then?
Okay, Quinn. Okay, Quinn, where you go? Quinn, call back in. Okay, I just lost Quinn with that call. Quinn, I need you to call back in. Okay, I guess we got some prank callers calling in, and I just lost Quinn. So hopefully Quinn can give me a call back. I can't hear you, Quentin. So let me let him know that I just lost him too. Okay, so today's topic is relationship anxiety. And like I said, we just, as usual, just got a prankster. Now, when we're talking about, not only was we talking about the childhood, and I'm waiting on Quentin to tell us about his book. Eddie, he is an author and a director and a producer, things of that nature. Now, like I said before, relationship anxiety is common. And also, we got to learn how to figure out what it is and why we're acting the way we were acting. Quinn, I apologize. Somehow you got lost, too, with that phone call. Hello?
It's all right. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay. Now,
yes.
I have another question for you, Quinn, because I don't know why the man go ask that question about can you get an abortion after the child is born. That didn't make no sense. So, the next question is, what about your ex? Can your ex be to blame for your anxiety? Now, we know that childhood is one thing, but past relationship, as I indicated, can also play a role in the way you behave in a relationship. Now, if you're experiencing the type of relationship anxiety where you see you're being cheated on, or you have a lack of trust in your new admirer, this may result from previous relationship experience that have been encoded in your brain. Now, sometimes we always say our brain never forgets, but one thing I always say is we will make another person pay for what somebody else has done, and that's not always fair. So I want to take the 30 minutes before we go into how to overcome from relationship anxiety. I want to talk about that when we're talking about the exes and bringing it in. I want you to tell us a little bit about
the book and what you got going on with the male baggage and the female baggage. So let's start with the men first, because I want to hear men's baggage, because a lot of times men don't like to admit to their stuff. So tell us a little bit about what you came up with.
First, let me say this. We all have baggage, okay? We just carry ours, male and female, we just carry it a little differently. You know, there's not a person on this planet that doesn't have baggage, you know. And in the book, I just address the different types of bags that men have. You know, you got baby mama drama, you know, so that's the baby bag. You got the scum bag, that's the players. You know, so you got things that, you got the paper bag, that's the guy that drinks, you know what I mean? So, you know, those are different types of bags, you know. Say it again?
You got to help me out. What's the plastic bag about? Because I know.
It's the paper bag. Paper bag. Paper bag is the guy that drinks. That's the guy, that's the guy that drinks a lot. And, you know, he has different personalities because he's a different person once he drinks. You know, he's really a good guy, but he just drinks too much.
Okay, I thought you said a plastic bag because I always see my son.
No.
He always packing up. He got a plastic bag. I thought he was the top of the rolling stuff. You know, that way.
Now, that's the overnight bag. That's the overnight bag. Yeah, that's the overnight bag. That's the guy that constantly carries. He has an overnight bag in his car, you know, just in case. He's going to spend the night from me, going to jump from woman to woman, you know. You know, he's the overnight. That's the overnighter. You know what I mean? He doesn't stay, he doesn't stay at your house too long. He's gone in the morning, you know what I mean? So, but women have different types of bags. You know, women, you know, you have like the designer bag. That's the woman that's always... she always wants the finer things, if you will, the expensive things, you know, designer clothes, you know, the finest restaurants and things of that nature, you know. But one thing about it, you know, we all have baggage, you know, we all have baggage. And it's how you unpack your baggage will determine the success of your relationship or your next relationship. You know, and a lot of time, and just going back on what you said earlier about your ex can be the cause of it. No one can cause you to do anything. You know, you do that on your own. You know, they did what they did, and then you just reacted. You know, and one thing I always tell people all the time too, it's hard to, you know, you can try your best, not necessarily try your best, but, you know, to make the next person pay for the last person's mistake. And, but 10 times out of 10, you're going to find yourself by yourself with that type of direction, with that type of attitude. You know, because no one's going to put up with crap. No one's going to sit down, especially from the beginning, not going to put up with this, with this craziness. You know, I tell people all the time that when a person shows you who they are, believe them. When a person shows you who they are, believe them. Right. So we're talking for 2 weeks. You've already showed me signs that you're crazy, that you're jealous, that you're insecure. Why would I stay in that relationship? Even from a female perspective, why would you stay with the guy that's jealous, that's insecure, you know, that's not stable, that doesn't show you any characteristic of manhood, any characteristic of gentleman? Why would you stay with that? You know, but the thing is, when you do, you one thing about it, when you stay in those relationships, you can't say you didn't see the signs. You saw the signs in the beginning. But a lot of times what women go on hope. I hope he's going to change. I hope he's not like the last guy. You know, go ahead.
And you know what? I saw it on Facebook a while ago, and somebody posted, and they said, the reason why women tell men about their exes is so that he don't make the same mistake. And a lot of times I know that people don't want to hear about other people's past relationships, because sometimes people start developing a perception of you, or they try to characterize you. And it doesn't mean that you may not have worked through your stuff. You know, because I know, like, even myself as being a therapist, I suck when it comes to relationships, but I know why. I totally know why. And it's not that people are bad people. Sometimes you have to be, first of all, equally yoked. You know, it's very difficult to date a person and they dealing also with their own insecurities. And a lot of times we think we can help them, and everybody don't want your help. And that's a lot of times one thing we have to realize is we can't fix people. Only God can fix and change people. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. They just may not be the person for you. And a lot of times when we talk about love, but I love him. He's my baby daddy. Oh, you should have thought about that before he became your baby daddy. I don't know if you saw Quentin. I was watching. No, I saw it on, I'm doing something with my DV group. And there was a woman, I forgot what state she was in, but she had 14 baby daddies and 14 kids. And she said, my mother said, I would never amount to nothing. I wasn't good at anything, but I proved her wrong. I made the Guinness Book of World Records with the most kids, with the most baby daddies. I said, you know what? Her self-esteem is tarnished. And then I'm looking at the youngest guy who is daddy number 14. I'm like, ain't no way I would want to deal with 14 baby daddies. Or 13 baby daddy. But she felt, she said, I may be unlucky in love, but I'm good at being a mommy. And, you know.
You know what? It's hard. Listen, it's hard to be real good at being a mommy. You got 14 kids. Because all of those kids with 14 different daddies. Because you can't give each individual child the love and attention that they need in order to survive out here in this world. She got 14 kids, but all of them kids are not getting the proper mental, spiritual, emotional nourishment that they need in order to survive out here in this world. And also you got to think, what does that say to those children that have 13 other siblings? What does that say to them about their mother? What does that say to them about themselves and how they look at relationships? So you have to look at the bigger picture. So the only thing you look at, I made a Guinness Book of World Records, which is nothing. She didn't get no money for that.
You know what? And she was one of the one had the most in regards to child support. But you know the sad part about it is, I'm going to text you that picture too. Her children looked like a classroom because they were from several different ethnicities. She had African American, Chinese, Mexican, white. I was like, what in the world? And it's just sad. It's just really sad. Now, talking about baggage, the guy who's with her now, she said, oh, I think he really loves me, but that took 9 months to get pregnant and have a baby, and she'd been knowing him less than 2 years. I was like, wow.
And think about this, just from a man perspective, a true man, no real man, you come into the relationship, you can't take care of her and those kids. You can't. Not unless you're a millionaire, a multimillionaire, you know. So you can't. And then think about this. When you go on family outings, you got to take multiple vehicles, at least three, at least three. And that's driving expeditions. You know, you look like the president coming through there in all them rides. You know, so no, that's not healthy. That's not healthy.
You know, and it's funny, but it's not funny, because I really felt bad for the young lady, because that was some serious self-esteem issue. Serious self-esteem issue. Because words are powerful. They're very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then just relationship anxiety, she would be under a lot of anxiety because the other men have left her before. And
absolutely,
she believed that number 14 was going to stay. And like you said, he looked very young. And that was sad. Now, talking about, again, like I said, talking about the causes, and we're going to go back to the baggage, because I like the way you're talking about the baggage. There's so many things that can cause anxiety in relationship, and like I said, that anxiety depends on what brought it on, whether a person's in an abusive relationship can cause anxiety for reasons that are completely different from those that develop anxiety because of problems, like raising children and things of that nature. But one of the things is you have to learn how to cope with your anxiety. And there are some serious issues that cause anxiety, much less serious issues that can cause anxiety. Yet all anxiety is a struggle. And when you find yourself with relationship anxiety, it's something that you want to cure. Because if you don't cure it, and like you said, that person may just leave you. The loss of trust, meaning in the future relationship, of the relationship. Easily the most common cause of anxiety is uncertainty about the future of the relationship. This can come from lots of fights, or it can become an issue from previous breakups, or it can come from growing distance. No matter the cause, when that trust of the relationship is not going to work out or I feel it's lost, the uncertainty can cause a lot of anxiety because you become unsure about what's going to happen with your life. The other one is loss of trust in general. Now, when we talk about the loss of trust in general, trust is also a problem. And, you know, in regards to things like infidelity or less seriously, like forgetting to run an important errand around the house, trust is an important part of the relationship. And if the trust is gone, you can either build it back naturally, or sometimes it takes work. Now, we have another caller calling in. I hope this is not a prank call. Hold on. Jeanette, hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Personal Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. May I help you?
Yeah, is this the abortion clinic?
Okay, you know what? I don't want to be disrespectful to this person because they're calling me from blank, from different numbers. You know, because, see, I got to do a godly show tomorrow, so I'm going to leave that alone. Okay, so another thing when we talk about the I know you're probably thinking the same thing I'm thinking. I wonder why his mama didn't have one. But, okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I know what you're thinking. I don't even know you that well. You know, he called from two different numbers. So he want to find the abortion clinic. But, okay. Now, fighting, walking on eggshells, negativity, stress. You know, Clinton, with this, and talking about the baggage, and I know you were talking about it depends on how you work through your baggage. What if a person brings your baggage to your awareness? Because I talked about consciously and unconsciously. What if someone brings something to your attention and you don't know? They calling me again. I'm going to start writing these numbers down, and I might report these numbers to the police. So maybe they'll stop calling me from all these different crazy numbers. That's what I'm going to do.
Now, what you're saying about bringing baggage to someone that they don't know?
Mm-hmm. Meaning that they're not even aware that that was even an issue. Let's say, for an example.
Oh, okay, the person that brought the baggage wasn't aware that that was an issue. Okay, that's simple. Go ahead.
Okay, no, go with it. Since you know what I'm talking about now, go give me some. Give us some examples.
Okay. All right. It's like. Okay, well, it's like we stated earlier, if you was raised a certain way, let's go with abuse. I'm gonna use an abuse example. If you're raised and you saw your mother and father fighting all the time, I'm gonna give you a personal example. When I was a teenager, I dated this female, this young lady, and she. We went to Burger King, and I had the week before, the day before, whatever it was, I had tried to talk to the woman at the drive-thru, and so just what happened, we came through, the girl said, why you didn't call me? And my girlfriend said, she's impressed, you call her, and she slapped me, boom. So we pulled around, you know, I'm like, you know, I didn't even get my order or nothing. We pulled around, and she tried to fight me. Right, but here's the thing. She believed that was love because that's what her mother and father did.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother and father used to fight. I mean, her mother mm-hmm. would go over sometime. Her mother would have black eyes, you know. So that's what she thought was love, right? Until you know, hold on, that's not how it goes. You know, I've never seen my dad hit my mom. You know, I've never seen my uncles hit my aunts. These things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, to go along with what you just said, a lot of times people don't know things until you bring it to their attention. Hey, look, that's not right. You know, that's not cool. That's not cool that you did this or that you did that. You know, you can give them examples. You can show them examples. You can, you know, communicate that with them. Once again, you're talking about communication. Go ahead.
I got a question. Wait. So after she knocked the hell out of you because you flirted with the woman at the Burger King and you wind up going to Burger King, did you not know that woman worked at Burger King?
No, no, sure. I was 16. I knew the woman worked at Burger King. You know, but I didn't think.
So,
I wasn't thinking. All I knew was she wanted some Burger King. I was going to get her some Burger King. You know. And actually, I remember thinking. I remember thinking. I hope that same girl is not there. You know, but. You know, we pulled up to the window. The girl came out, and I was like, man, you know. But I was 16. You know, I didn't know any better. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, not to go up to the same Burger King where I tried to talk to another girl a couple of days before. You know, But she jumped on me, man. And her name was Tamika. And she always used to fight me. She's always trying to fight me, you know. Golly. But but that's all she knew. She was always trying to fight me. She was always, man, I'm just always arguing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was
so
crazy.
How long did you date after that, Quinn? How long did you date? Did you tell Tamika, you got to go?
How long did we? It wasn't long after that we broke up. It wasn't long because I was 16. I had never been through that. A woman trying to fight me, you know, and then it was constant though. It was constant, you know. She was always trying. I was like, no, I didn't. It started off cool, you know, 2 16-year-old, you know, young adults, you know, teenagers or rather, you know, going out, going to Six Flags, doing all kind of cool stuff, and then she. But I saw the sign. I'm 46 now, so I know, you know, it's 30 years later, so I know the difference. But I saw the signs in the beginning because she would always argue. I remember from day one, she would, you know, start little arguments. Why are you looking at her? I ain't looking at her. What are you talking about? And she would nudge me. I ain't looking at her. What are you talking about? Then it just gradually, blew up, you know. But, yeah, she probably, hopefully she got some help. Find out. You know, I'll tell you this too. I remember she had she wrecked her car too. She had called herself popping up on me, you know. And
it's interesting that you said this. It reminds me of, I just went to the movies on Friday for my birthday because I just celebrated my birthday, and I saw the new Tyler Perry movie. So when you said that, it kind of reminded me of
That was her. Yes. Well, she tried. Listen, yes, that was her. She tried to when she ran into the trailer. That was her. She tried to run over my. That's how she wrecked her car. She tried to run over my friend. You know, trying to pop up on me and try to run over my friend and wrecked her car. You know, wrecked it totally.
Now
you know. Golly, man.
I truly apologize for laughing because I know back in the day I was a big bully. I mean, I ain't beat up no boyfriends like that, but I think I still got the food. I don't think I would have drove off a Burger King without getting my food.
I couldn't believe that girl slapped me. I mean, she slapped fire out of me, too. I'm like, man, what? You know. She slapped me pretty good. Nice. Got me good. Got me right across the face. My ears were ringing and everything.
Okay.
Then we got in the car. She tried to fight me. She was straight up trying to wrestle, trying to fight. I had to hold her back, you know. And I was afraid to get back in the car because I didn't want her to just scratch me up while we were in the car. Mm-hmm. You know, it was crazy. You know, I was scared.
I could tell Quinn could breathe. I'm saying this because, you know, and it's sad because. I also teach the 52-week Matters Intervention Program, and a lot of times we talk about domestic violence, and that doesn't mean that some women are not in danger. It doesn't mean that some men are not in danger. But a lot of times we run into what's called mutual comeback, a lot of times, you know, trying to initiate a restraining order, and I heard you say, I hope she got some help. And one of the things in regards to how to stop relationship anxiety is relationships, as we know, are basically incredibly complicated. And there are two things that you have to ask yourself in the beginning, long before you can expect to either fix your relationship or work on it. Is this relationship worth saving? And are you willing to change yourself even without your partner changing? Now, see, me in my 50s, I'd be doggone if I'm going to be in an unhealthy or abusive relationship because I know me. If a person comes to me and they break, you ain't going, if you raise your hand like you go hit me, I would have knocked the crap out of you. I can't do that. I can't do the arguing. I tell people my nerves are bad, and I have lupus. And I tell my friend, like, you're going to make my lupus flare up, you know. So I can't do that. Now, those are things that we know that the first question is self-explanatory. Not every relationship is worth saving. So no matter how long you've been together, and it may sound cliche, but breakups are actually an important part of a relationship. So if we assume that point of any relationship that you have to be, that person makes you happy or, you know, you're afraid of that person, that's not a healthy relationship. And I don't think I would want that kind of anxiety. Now,
no.
Okay, you got me laughing. Are you better now, Quentin? Are you better?
Because yeah,
we don't want
to
be calling you after the show talking about, you know,
yeah,
why you told me up on the...
Yeah, no, we cool. I'm cool. Yeah, I've got my help. Yeah,
I'm good. You'd be like, Quentin, you know that was a long time ago.
Yeah, 30 years ago, I got a help up. Yeah.
Did you get some help, Quentin? What you did?
No, for real, I was damaged behind that. I ain't had no woman hit me. You know, I was 16. You know, to see her snap like that. But I'll tell you, but I wouldn't take it back. And I say that because it taught me about life and about relationships. You know, even
mm-hmm.
though it was abusive. You know, I mean, it was
mm-hmm.
abusive, but it taught me a lot. Hopefully she learned a lot, too, you know, from it, from wrecking her car. You know what I mean? Hopefully she learned a lot, too, you know.
Okay, Quentin. Okay,
yeah.
Now ways to control anxiety. When we're talking about that anxiety, and like I said, the excessive worrying, the jealousy, the insecurity, you know, a lot of times people are afraid to go get therapy because they think it's taboo. But if someone is making you feel like you are losing control, you're losing your mind, you do need to go get some help. Because the problem is it may not be the relationship, it may be you. And like I said, anxiety can break down trust and a connection. It can cause fear and excessive worrying. It can sabotage the relationship. And anxiety, like we know, it can basically, you have to detangle your baggage. You have to recognize the motivation of the anxiety. And you can't use the anxiety to solve problems, but you have to, first of all, get help or know how to ask for help. So if someone is telling you that what you're doing is a problem for them, don't expect for them to change to fit you. You may have to work on you. It may be difficult. It may be a challenge. But sometimes I had to block somebody on my phone. It was so funny. He taught me how to block, and when I blocked him, he had a fit. He was getting on my nerves.
He taught you how to block, and man, that was the best thing he could have taught you, huh? How to block.
And I blocked him. He was like, Jeanette, please unblock me. Jeanette, can you unblock me, please? Can you? Like, oh, hell no. You know, he's like calling me on Messenger. I tried to block the messenger. The messenger wouldn't go through. So I was like, dang
yeah.
it. Getting on the nerve, you know. But the thing is, like I said, ways to control anxiety is, with that in mind, controlling your relationship anxiety has more to do with you than it does them. And you can expect them to contribute. The following are basic strategies for making sure that your relationship can heal. Exercise and other anxiety reduction strategies. Like I said, my blocking was putting him on a timeout because I was like, no, you need a timeout. If you acting like this, I refuse to engage or entertain this type of behavior, you know? So first and foremost, anxiety is still anxiety. And that means that effective anxiety reduction strategies can help control the way you feel. Exercise. Sometimes you got to do something. People say stay busy. You know, that don't mean looking at the phone, see if they called you, checking their Facebook pages and seeing who they Twittering. You know, it's like, come on now, calm down. Another thing
take deep
is
breaths.
Take breathe. If you start talking about what somebody did to you and it still bothers you, you know you ain't over that yet.
You ain't over it yet, absolutely.
You ain't over it yet. So another thing is there's a lot of evidence that exercise is a powerful or the most powerful way to reduce anxiety. And sometimes some people need medication. I'm going to say this too, Quentin. If you dating somebody, you meet them, you see they taking a whole bunch of psych meds, you better be like, this may be a problem. So another thing besides exercising and other anxiety reduction strategies is sometimes starting over. If the trust is gone, talk to your partner about starting over completely and dating as though you've never been together. Trust is about rebuilding or building a foundation and needs to be grown from the ground up. You need to stick with it and stick it through. If after a few weeks things are getting better, it still may be too soon to tell if the trust is back. Because sometimes people will manipulate you. I like the way Joel Osteen said it once. He said, people will, first of all, tell you what they think you want to hear. tell you what's going to make them look or sound good, and then you'll get to the truth. Now, just because a person may have a bad past, it doesn't mean that everyone is going to reject them. But some people have issues with rejection. And if that person has issues with rejection, that may be a dangerous person. I attended a workshop on Wednesday, and it was a very interesting workshop. And I want you to, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Clinton. It's called The Broken Child. There's a documentary. But they talked about trauma and talking about not only just the childhood trauma, but institutional trauma, talking about synthetic trauma. When a person has been traumatized, it can affect their behaviors in a lot of ways, which can also affect their relationship and how they connect with other people. So if you're not and a therapist should not be trying to do therapy with the person that they're dating. First of all, that's unethical. So don't think you can fix nobody or you can love them into wellness, because that does not work. Now, exchanging needs. Have a conversation with your partner about each other's needs. Sometimes you can write them down to make sure that you are both on the same page. Sometimes with the anxiety, stay mutually busy, because being busy in relationships can be difficult, but something that is known to improve the mood of the relationship is to stay mentally busy. If your mind is on something else, you can't be sitting up there worried about what they're doing. Be physically affectionate, touching and holding, even when you're mad at the person, is very common. And it is one of the reasons that successful couples, that's why they often hug after a long or hard day, because you want to make sure that you're connecting with this person. I want to say, too, Quinn, a lot of times individuals develop anxiety, like even in a movie, they'll be like, well, he ain't sleeping with me no more. He's not touching me no more. He may be scared of rejection, or he may be afraid of rejection. It doesn't mean that the person has left you or is sleeping with somebody else. All kind of stuff starts running through people's minds. Now, we have 3 minutes left on the show. What do you want the listeners to take from this conversation that we're having in regards to relationship anxiety?
I would like the listeners to know that if you're engaging in relationship anxiety, to seek some help and understand, you know, really the process and really what's going on in your life that causes you to act in such a way, and to recognize that if you don't change, that it can affect you in your future as far as your future relationships with whoever. And then not just from a male-female perspective. It could just be from your mother, father, brother, sister, whatever. But you must seek help and get an understanding of what the root to the problem, what's really causing the problem for you to have that relationship anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And where can they find you? If someone, because you are a relationship coach, because I was telling you before, I wanted to put together and do some men-to-men workshops, because a lot of men are struggling a lot of areas, and finding someone that's going to be truthful and honest with them to help them and teach them how to be successful in relationships, because a lot of times people don't know, and they have to relearn and get rid of certain behaviors. How can a person find you?
Oh, it's QuentinMorgan.com. You can find me. Also, I'm on Twitter. Quinn Morgan, the Relationship Advocate on Facebook, but you can just go to QuinnMorgan.com. And the thing about men, let me say this real quick about grown men. A lot of men don't like to listen to other grown men because we think we know everything. So my direction is to address women, okay, because I can get to the woman, then I can, through the woman, I can reach the man, because we do things to impress you all in order and to get you all as well, to get you all to come with us as well. And also young men, right, young men, because young men are still impressionable. Young men are still impressionable. They're still being taught. They're still willing to learn. So if I can get to the young men and all women, then I could change the complete direction of the supposed leaders in our society, which is supposed to be the men.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, join me tomorrow. I indicated before, I'm going to be on the air with Pastor Dennis Dale from Higher Dominion Worship Center, located in San Marcos, California, and we're going to be talking about being a child of God. Now, I have Ryder right here. Ryder said he want to close the show. What you want to say, Ryder? You want to say bye? You just want me to pick you up. I bet you wanted to close the show. I guess you don't want to close the show. So, again, Jeanette Abney on tomorrow at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, as we're going to be talking about being a child of God with Pastor Janet Bell from Higher Dominion Worship Center. If you have any information, some input, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email me at jabneylmft@gmail.com. If you have any topics that you want me to discuss, I appreciate you. And until next time, remember, you got this. Thank you, Clinton. Talk to you later, Clinton.
Absolutely.
Right, it don't want to talk. Say bye-bye.